Welcome to the Solid Man Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Curry, licensed marriage and family therapist. SolidMan.com is an ongoing conversation designed to empower men to master the art of being a man. This is lesson three of the group process assignments. So this is still pillar one, to awaken the internal, and it's part two. First part was the problem. Part two is the solution. That'll be lesson three and lesson four. So this one talks about six solid concepts. Trusting yourself and the shadow self. This is going to be interesting for you guys. So the quote at the beginning, who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakes. That's Carl Jung. So the introduction. The Solid Man process is about mastering the art of being good at being a man. It's about becoming free. After reading part one, you're more aware of how your life has been externally referenced. Now, you'll learn more about how to begin to live and lead your life from an internal point of reference. While part one was a gut check to assess your point of reference, part two will move you into new territory, crossing a threshold into a new place. This new place requires you to live from an entirely new posture. This new way of living will change everything in your life. Are you ready? In order to be solid, integrated, and masculine man, you must have an internal point of reference. You learn that the problem is that you've built your life upon what others think, what others need, validation from others, what others expect, and have deferred yourself to externals. You have handed over your power to externals. You have been living an externally referenced life. Hopefully, the consequences of the externally referenced life and the problems that develop are now more obvious to you. Identifying how and why you orbit around externals is the first step toward regaining a strong sense of identity and intention in your life. Rebuilding your life with internal realities driving and defining you. It's time to learn how the unplugged life is lived and to become reliant on your own internals. You will begin to build your own internal matrix so that you can live in freedom. In part two, you'll identify and practice forgotten, neglected internal parts of your life. Listening to these internal resources will bring freedom, vigor, and vitality to your life. This is a journey that takes intent, focus, and practice. The external reference has left the world with generations of men who are frozen, passive, and silent. The strong presence of the good men in our world has been diminished. So the question is, in what ways have you been frozen or silent in your life, and what has done that to you? This is what these pages are all about. Many men have lost their good, strong presence in the world. I want to fix that. The Solid Man process is designed to equip men to engage the entire world with a powerful presence and strong voice that all men have. Men have been designed to be a force for good, to be an influence of safety and abundance in every corner of the world. As with many changes, this starts at home, in your little corner of the universe, with you. Every man has been called out to be a force for good. Men are good and want to create goodness in the world. Most men have a deep desire to protect, provide, and create environments of safety and health. A very small minority of evil men have painted a corrupt image of the design of the masculine soul. It's true, there are men out there who are abusive and evil. James Loder describes evil like this: God created everything out of nothing, but evil seeks to return everything to nothing. People who destroy, abuse, and control are evil. These people are not the majority and do not show the true design of manhood or masculinity. Listen to your own heart as you begin reading these words. You know what you've been designed for. Your power and strength is for bringing good things to your world. Remember that you can change the world. The Solid Man process will give you the courage and strength to begin to break free from the silent and passive posture that you've had. You will learn that your voice and your presence are two of the most powerful parts of your being. You will change everything as you begin to speak clearly while developing a very active presence in your life. Six solid concepts: mastery, freedom, integrity, gratitude, humility, and healthy indifference are concepts at the center of the journey to become a solid man. It is essential to discuss them here to ensure that you know what these concepts mean and how they impact your life. Let's start with mastery. A significant masculine concept is mastery. Men are designed to gain mastery over themselves and their world. Gaining mastery over your own life is essential if you're going to live the life you want. Mastery is gaining expert skill, knowledge, and outstanding ability. Mastering your life is about becoming proficient at being you and living out your masculinity with goodness, power, authenticity, and intention. This requires instruction, often with a master or a group of men, a lifetime of practice, and intentionally pushing toward new boundaries of excellence. In life, we choose some things that we try to master. Our work is often one of those things. Our world seems to have no need or patience for men who attempt to master anything outside of work. Even developing mastery of work is not readily promoted. Furthering your skill base usually is driven by passion and purpose from an internal place. The world is only interested in keeping the machine going, and you're part of that assembly line world. Just put your head down, do your task, and all will be good. Because of this, we've lost our heart and we've lost our spine. It's time to get our heart back, to master your life, and to be free. To be the man you want to be, you must develop mastery in areas of life that exhibit your passions and purpose in life. For this work, it's important to begin to gain the core skills required to master your own life. The first skill is to develop an internally referenced life. Mastery of your life starts with knowing who you are and then gaining ability to move through life with confidence, self-control, and intention. Mastery and freedom are at the core of the internally referenced man. To live life from the inside out, you must master your own internal resources, especially your masculinity. From here, you will learn how to gain mastery and influence in your close, intimate relationships. Freedom. As a masculine virtue, freedom is essential in the life of every man. Most of us have lost our freedom. Freedom comes from living from the inside out. Freedom is the ability to act freely, doing and living as you want, without undue restraints or restrictions. Freedom is having the personal power to create the life that you want, to lead your own life, and to expand into multiple arenas of presence. Freedom is another very significant factor in masculinity. The desire and need for freedom is at the core of every man. For Americans, resistance to tyranny is actually in our cultural DNA. Yet men find themselves in a position where they have submissively sold themselves out. We've sold our soul only to obtain the dregs of external validation here and there, from work or from women. Since we need something external to fulfill us, our resistance gene doesn't get the chance to rise up and fight for freedom. It's time to let that rascal out of its cage. I think Paul from the Bible said it best. It was for freedom that we've been set free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not yet be subject again to a yoke of slavery. It seems the Apostle Paul is saying that God actually wants us to be free. God is actually pleased to see his creation roam the land in freedom. Imagine that. God actually trusts you, that you will desire good things. He wants you to move with freedom and life. He challenges us not to fall back into bondage. I believe the bondage he refers to is the bondage to external laws and the external rules and expectations of religion and the world. Our freedom rests on the foundation of an internally referenced life. Externals enslave you. Internals set you free. This is probably the opposite of many of the messages you've gotten from church or religious experience. These messages say that you need to live under the authority of the church, to the set of rules or what certain people believe that the Bible says. It's as though living under a set of rules is where true freedom is found. Contrary to that, true freedom is experienced as you live from your own inner authority and move from the good heart that God gave you. Could it be that God enjoys watching you walk in freedom? Religious institutions have always had a set of rules. Jesus actually came to break those rules and to set us free. To regain your freedom, you must recognize how you rely on externals for your personal value or for permission to move. From there, you'll learn to move from your deep internal realities. Pillar 1 is just the beginning of living life from an internal point of reference. It's up to you to take this information and to begin to live freely. Integrity. Men who struggle in life, in pretty much every form, have not developed a strong internally referenced core from which life is lived. The strong internal core is where integrity is developed in a man's life. An externally referenced man has no integrity. In order to regain a solid sense of integrity, the essential shift is moving from the reliance on externals to living according to the guidance of your internal resources. At the very center of this shift is developing internal integrity. Usually, the first word people use to describe integrity is honesty, or just always telling the truth. This is significant because honesty is a vital outcome of having integrity, but there's so much more to integrity than being impeccable with your words. Integrity is about gaining maturity and having an incorruptible solidness. Integrity is doing and saying the right thing, regardless of external pressure or whether someone is looking or not. Integrity comes from a solid core of character and internal strength. Integrity is centered and grounded in life. Integrity is structure, integration, and wholeness built into a man's frame. Integrity is experienced only with an internally referenced life. Externally referenced men lose themselves as they do what everybody else expects and what would please others. They lose their soul, they lose their freedom. Since they work from the outside resources, integrity does not exist. They've lost their own identity and their core. Their life is viewed through the lens of what other people think and want. Since they have no center, they easily get it caught up in porn, purposelessness, powerlessness, fear, anger, and anxiety. They have no internal frame or authority. They get stuck and stagnant in life without any significant personal growth. If you've ever been stuck, you know this is not good. Humans have been designed to continually move, change, and grow. This work is about growing toward personal integrity and integration. I know I've said this many times, but in order to build integrity into your life, you must take the essential shift from being externally referenced to being internally referenced. From there, you will begin to develop integrity. Integrity will never happen if you're externally referenced. It's also important to understand integrity so that you can develop it into your life. So let's look at the three aspects of integrity that define an integrated life. Structure, integration, and wholeness. First, integrity in its essence has an internal structure. A building with a structural integrity will not collapse, even under extreme conditions. The building has been built with everything it needs to maintain its frame. The structure is plumb, true, and level. It's built on a strong foundation. The designer made the building so it would stand firm and create a very safe environment for everybody inside. The same is true in the journey of a solid man. A solid, immovable internal structure is the goal. Structural integrity requires a solid personal core, which comes from a deep and strong identity and internally referenced life. To develop structural integrity, you will develop a strong frame that will not crumble under any circumstance and is safe for all who engage with you. When you have structural integrity, you will maintain your frame. Integrity is frame, a solid structure that will not crumble. Second, integrity is also defined by integration. Integration exists when a man lives in a full, holistic way, bringing all parts of himself into complete working order. Somewhere down the line, men have gotten out of the practice of integrating important aspects into everyday life. Therefore, we've lost integrity. Our culture has taught and trained us to disregard important parts of us, so we will continue to keep the machine working. We don't really listen to emotional, intuitive, spiritual, or sometimes even physical parts of our being. In order to get the job done or to fit in, we've been told to suck it up and soldier on without attending to vital internal resources that exist within. These internal resources have been designed to guide us toward a full, vigorous life, and we disregard them as though we've been hypnotized. Integration happens when we bring all the internal and physical aspects of our life together into one well-oiled personal unit. Integration of all our internal resources is so important in this work. As you begin to notice how much you have disregarded your core to keep others happy, notice what begins to rise up in you. Finally, integrity requires wholeness, like an integer. Notice how the root of the word integer is in the same as integrity. An integer is a whole number, not a fraction or part of a number. A whole number is complete, lacking in nothing. A solid man of integrity is also whole and complete. Being whole and complete means that you have everything within your being to live a life of fullness and vigor. Our problem is that we do not believe that this is true. You must remember that you are whole. You do not need anything or anyone outside of you to complete you. You are a free standing unit. The romantic ideal of "you complete me" is from the pit of rom-com hell. Depending on what tradition you come from, to varying degrees, men believe they are incomplete or broken, that something is wrong with them, or they're just not good enough. We believe that we need something external to fulfill us or validate us. This is not true. If you think you are broken or need to be fixed, you will look to someone outside of you to validate you or make you feel better about yourself. This needy, incompetent posture is what develops into unhealthy, codependent relationships. Looking for someone to complete you is a recipe for relational disaster. Carrying personal wholeness into a relationship is actually what makes it possible to engage in close personal relationships with intimacy. Becoming internally centered and validated creates the opportunity to develop healthy interdependent relationships. As you stand solidly on your own two feet without faltering, you do not need anyone else to hold you up. Saying you don't need someone to complete you doesn't make for a very romantic movie, but contrary to popular opinion, it is now a foundation for a very healthy relationship. Your integrity is the rich soil where intimacy can now grow. You have everything within you to live a life of fullness and abundance. Remember, integrity is defined by three categories: structure, integration, and wholeness. When working through this exercise, keep these ideas in mind. Your journey toward becoming a man of integrity requires that you develop a strong internally referenced frame. The solid man journey is about becoming good at being a man. Becoming aware of the reference points in your life will give you the ability to engage more in presence and influence so you can direct your own life. In order to be a solid, integrated man, you must have an internal point of reference. You must build an internally referenced life based on internal truths and resources found in your integrity. You must live from your solid core. humility and gratitude. The categories of humility and gratitude are essential as we move toward mastery, freedom, and integrity. As a man becomes strong and internally referenced, the true test of his character will come in the form of humility and gratitude. If these characteristics develop in true form, then this process is working perfectly. Humility and gratitude are the true results of an internal reference. Arrogance, self-righteousness, and boasting are attitudes of the externally referenced individual. These characteristics show that a man insecurely remains beholden to the external world. Again, this feels counterintuitive since you might have been taught that an internal reference would result in grandstanding, but the opposite is true. Humility is just speaking the truth about who you really are. Humility has no desire to puff up. Boasting is the energy of external reference. Humility is content with what is. If I am intelligent or athletic, so be it. I don't have to prove it to anyone. Humility has no need to be better than others by winning or boasting. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. That's C.S. Lewis. Humility is developed as a man accepts the fact that the fullness of his being, who he is, his capabilities, and even his acceptability do not come from his effort. They are gifts. The solid man recognizes that he is part of a larger story. These great tools for living well have been given to him for the betterment of himself and all the others in his sphere of influence. Humility, therefore, begets gratitude or thanksgiving. Since the goodness and fullness of life come from a source into which I was born, I only have one option, gratitude. This is giving thanks for all that has been given to me and bestowed upon me. Nothing I have has started from me. I'm living with the goods that have been given to me. A posture of gratitude naturally develops from an internally referenced life. Enjoy the experience of knowing that you are not the pinnacle of the world, and regularly saying thanks for all that has been given to you is the way it should be. Gratitude is actually a type of superpower. It's a characteristic that lifts a person into a different kind of category in the world of human interaction. We often don't see enough gratitude in our interactions, and it really makes a difference. Develop a gratitude practice where you take the time daily to say the words thank you at least 10 times during your day to people around you. Find ways to express thanks to who and what you recognize as your source of life. This is a quote from Meister Eckhart. If the only prayer you ever prayed was thank you, it would suffice. So use your voice to appreciate people, and with appreciative words, more often. Go out of your way to write notes telling people how you appreciate them. Thank people for normal things they do to serve you for kindness. See what happens. You will be surprised. Healthy indifference. This concept comes from Bradley Fenton's book, Stumbling Naked in the Dark, Overcoming Mistakes Men Make with Women. He introduces the concept of indifference as the elusive thing that attracts women to men. Indifference is a characteristic in which a man does not care what a woman is thinking about him or about what the outcome of any interaction would be with her. The internal confidence he has in his identity is not determined by her. Fenton identifies that as indifference and is highly attractive to a woman. Most women do not have the skill to discern whether the indifference is healthy or unhealthy. This is where many women get caught into the cycle of getting stuck with jerks. Indifference is attractive to a woman. Healthy indifference is a treasure. A jerk does have indifference. He does not care what a woman thinks or whether she likes him or not. Where he goes awry is that the jerk actually does not care about her safety or well-being at all. He really is an uncaring jerk. Initially, it's very hard for a woman to distinguish between healthy and unhealthy indifference. A man with healthy indifference is truly indifferent to whether she likes him or not, indifferent to her moods, indifferent to whether she agrees with him or not, indifferent to whatever outcome of any interaction would be, and is actually concerned with her opinions, with increasing her safety, and increasing her sense of well-being. While indifference is highly attractive to women, only healthy indifference creates a foundation upon which a good long-term relationship can thrive. Healthy indifference is impossible to achieve while living an externally referenced life. The journey you are on must be first concerned with just plain indifference. You have to develop an internally referenced identity that is secure and solid. You will need to gain a posture that essentially does not care whether she likes you or which mood she has. You will need to get to a place that is not deflated or devastated if she doesn't agree with you, does not want to have sex with you, or whatever outcome that is important to you. Once you have indifference, then you will be able to develop healthy indifference. You care about yourself and are responsible for your well-being. Now, from that platform, you can actually care about her safety and well-being as well. That is healthy indifference. Trusting yourself. Your internal resources. Internal resources are where we get vital information that helps us decide what to do, what to say, or what action to take in real time. In order to live free, wholehearted, a man must reclaim the ability to observe, notice, and discern his internal process, and allow that internally gathered information to guide his life in any present moment. A solid, integrated man is concerned and connected to his own internal matrix, then he can fully detach from the external matrix. The internal resources are tools you need to leave your own life and where you want it to go. To live freely, you must master listening to your own personal internal matrix instead of being led by what everyone else wants or expects from you. There's so much more going on inside of you than you ever imagined. The internally referenced man does not disregard his internal processes. The internal tools guide a man through any present event. When you master listening to your internals, you will become confident you can handle just about anything in life in real time. Your internal resources are a gold mine of solid information. You'll need to relearn what you've been taught about yourself. For example, men have been led not to respect the emotional or intuitive parts of us because the idea that it's illogical or feminine. We all have separated from our internals to varying degrees. Integration of internals increases the richness of experiences and prepares you to fully engage in life. In this second section, Awakening Your Internals, we'll outline what it will take to trust your internals, how to identify and disempower the great obstacle that exists within us, and then consider the significant internal resources that you have at your disposal, so you can live a life of integrity and freedom. But first, you must learn to trust yourself. In order to move into mastery and freedom in your own life, you must trust yourself. You must break out of your previous pattern of only trusting what others think and trust that your internal resources will guide you well. In order to live fully human lives, we must begin to learn how to intentionally connect and respect our internals. The journey of following your heart and trusting yourself requires that you remain conscious, to know you are in good working order, and to know the quality of masculinity. Consciousness. Trusting yourself requires consciousness. Consciousness is being awake, aware, and seeing what is going on. Do I know who I am, where I am, what time it is, what is happening? Am I asleep in my own life, oblivious to what's going on or how I could influence my world? In his book, It's Your Call, Gary Barkalow talks about being alert and oriented times four, or AOX4. After a traumatic event, first responders ask if the patient can correctly identify the time, their name, their location, and the event. If they're conscious and they can answer all four questions, they are alert and oriented times four. Many of us go through life unconscious. We are not present. We really don't know who we are. We are oblivious to our context and confused about what's happening around us. We must become alert and oriented times four. There are four postures so we can learn to wake up and become more conscious. One, become a student. The first posture of consciousness is that you must become a student of yourself. This requires that you humbly realize that you have been oblivious to your inner workings, forgotten who you really are, and have lost the art of fully being human. It's essential that you become a student of yourself. The posture of being a student is the beginning in the process of your journey of mastery. The goal will be to master the art of being a man, being human, and being you. So this requires the humility of embracing the fact that I'm not so good at this yet. Being a student is the posture of any true master. Become a student of yourself. You cannot assume you know anything. Since you've just gone along with externals up to this point, you've got to relearn what you think you know. Take the humble posture of learning and you'll do just fine. Learn how to listen and learn from your internals. The posture of a learner puts you in a position where you don't have to have it all together. You are a learner because you don't know it all. This humble attitude releases the expectation to be perfect or to get it right. A student can engage in experiments that may or may not be successful. Success is the fact that you are free to explore and experiment, gathering information as you go. Become an observer. The second posture of consciousness is to become an observer of yourself. Observing means to actually watch yourself in action, to see what you do, to notice what you feel and experience, to pay attention to what moves and interests you. Observing requires consciousness and being awake. Most of us just go through life in a fog, just as the Matrix wants. Observing is checking in with yourself. Asking yourself simple questions like, what's going on? What's happening right now? What do I need? To do this well, you don't have to accomplish anything. Just observe what's going on inside of you. Just be aware, notice, and continue to maintain consciousness. Become an observer of yourself. We are very critical of ourselves, so observing requires that we are non-judgmental. Dr. Robert Glover talks about becoming a non-judgmental observer of self. We are your own worst critic. Old narratives, our false self, the crazy voice in our head all come up when we feel inadequate, fearful, or out of control. Your internals are not here to be fixed, but to be listened to. Judgment, shame, self-attack can never lead to any good ending. Listening is a lost art. There's not enough thoughtful listening. Listening deeply to yourself without judgment and with curiosity. Soon you'll know just what to listen for. The posture of observer requires that you put away the negative judgmental critic. The critic has haunted you for too long. So in order to non-judgmentally observe yourself, you must silence the critic. Remember that nothing is wrong with you, and just observe, gaining vital information about what to do next. Become connected. The third posture of consciousness is being connected with yourself. Externally referenced men live compartmental, disconnected lives. We use self-medication like drugs, alcohol, or porn to escape or numb our emotional energy. We have disregarded our core experiences to get through the menial parts of life. We have lived vicariously through others, like sports teams or your kids, to feel valuable. We have lived to please others to make them happy with us, all along missing out on our own needs and wants and dismissing them as selfish. We are self-disconnected when we rely on externals for accomplishments or validation. To live a life of strong mastery, disregarding yourself must end. Connect with your internal resources for a sense of value and worthiness. Stop living a disconnected, dichotomized, and dualistic life. You must become who you really are, not some chameleon trying to fit in or to please. Be connected to yourself. As you connect with yourself, start the process of finding out who you really are. Consider what you want. Dig deep and find out what you really believe about life and what makes you thrive. Think about what makes you tick and what brings you passion. Take time to dream. Ask yourself what makes your heart come alive. Develop self-confidence through connecting with yourself and trusting that you have the internal tools to lead your own life. This is another way to become integrated. How could you become more connected with yourself? Stay present. The fourth posture of consciousness is staying present. Presence is about staying aware in the present moment. Presence means that you stay awake, conscious, and observe whatever's going on in you and around you. Presence requires that you stay in the present moment. Be present with yourself. What happens to us is that worry and anxiety about the future, or regret and shame from the past, squeeze out the present moment in real time. Both the past and the future press in from both sides like a vice, eliminating the fullness of what is happening right now and squeezing out the present. We end up living more in the past or in the future, but not in the present. Past regret and future worry crush the present like a vice. Becoming internally referenced and living from your internal resources require that you live in the present moment. All the tools and resources you have can only be discerned and understood from what is happening in the present moment. To fully live from the inside out, you must live in the now. You are in good working order. Trusting yourself requires that you actually trust yourself. We've talked about the strong message in our culture today that says you're broken, flawed, or something is just not okay with you. This idea comes from most religious, philosophical, and psychological traditions. As you read the heading, "You are in good working order," how did you react to the idea that nothing is wrong with you? This belief that we are flawed is deep within most of us and will be a challenge to break. This idea is a big issue for most every human. For now, just let the idea that you're not broken marinate a while. When you believe the message that something is wrong with you, you will never be able to trust yourself. You must know that you are good enough. To move in freedom, you must trust yourself. We all have our own list of reasons why we have believed we are shameful, incomplete, or flawed. You may have shame or feel that something's wrong with you, with your sexuality, that you're a pervert, or have a one-track mind, or that you've been labeled as a sex addict, or that you're not smart enough, good-looking enough, or skilled enough. Your shame may be your incompetence, inability to remember, have follow-through, or to be reliable. It might have been that you think you're not good enough or have failed to achieve or accomplish or not measure up. Whatever it may be, if you are going to master living from the inside out, you must believe that you're okay. There is nothing wrong with you. You are in good working order. If you cannot grasp the idea that you're in good working order, you will have a tough time moving forward. Developing your internal reference life requires that you deeply trust yourself and your internal processes. If you believe that your internal processes are flawed, you will not be able to trust them, and therefore you will continue in your slavery to externals. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm saying that we're in good working order. We make mistakes all the time. We continually choose foolish ways of living, or we forget who we are, or we fall back into fear or self-protective defense. We sin all the time by choosing to follow various idols, counterfeits, or attachments rather than a true one source. Your mistakes and sins are not evidence that you're flawed. What is wrong with us is that we forget who we really are and we fail to listen to our internal process. When we allow ourselves to be defined and driven by externals, that's when problems arise. We're always trying to fix what actually doesn't need fixing. Many of us have experienced abuse in our lives. Usually this results in a tainted view of our value. If someone treated you like garbage, well, then you must be garbage. You must process the ambivalence associated with your abuse and know that it was not your fault or because of any flaw within you. It was that someone in your life abused you, not because you're flawed or responsible. What needs to be fixed is your belief that you need to be fixed. Some men struggle with physical or mental issues like low T or ADHD or even something like bipolar disorder. Just because you may have something imbalanced chemically or hormonally does not mean your heart is flawed or your ability to feel, want, or choose is broken. You may live in the same shame of significant mistakes. We let the mistake define us so it sticks with us, like a label defining our value. All of us have some type of physical or mental imperfection. Some of us believe that since there is some problem, then we really cannot trust our internal processes. That is just not true. So don't live as a victim to your imperfections. Be responsible to take care of whatever the problem is. Care for yourself and get as strong as you can. But remember, your heart is good and you can rely on your internal processes to be fine, to be working just fine. Let your imagination go for a moment. What would happen if everybody on the planet lived from their heart? Would it be chaos, war, and Armageddon? Would it be peace, love, and service? Where your imagination went kind of reveals what you believe about people and the state of your own heart. Another way to look at this is that you are a Ferrari, not a Yugo. Most of us see ourselves as a human equivalent of the Yugo. I know that's a while back and I'm older, so I understand a Yugo, but it's a really crappy car. It's internally flawed with no hope of getting better. The Yugo was from the mid-80s. It was one of the most epic automotive fails ever. They were cheap and they sold like crazy the first year they came into the US. They won awards and it looked like a great deal. But when the cars started to break down, which was often, worse than that was the complete lack of automotive support and the parts to get them fixed. So they were all just junked. We think of ourselves like that. Something is inherently wrong with us. Since we've been told this in so many ways, we believe we're the epic fail like a Yugo. On the contrary, you are the equivalent of a Ferrari. It may be hard to believe that you are a fine-tuned machine designed with more than enough power to move through your world in a strong, influential, and good fashion. Not only are you good enough, you are more than enough. Chances are, no one ever told you anything like this. The messages have been clear that you are like a Yugo, but no one ever has told you that you are a thoroughbred. You are complete and have what it takes to go through life well. To master your life, you must believe you have what it takes. To truly believe that you are complete and good enough requires breaking down a lifetime of false messages that you've received. Be patient with this personal and spiritual process. It does take time. To be clear, I'm not saying we don't make mistakes and we don't sin. Actually, I'd say we make more mistakes and sin more than we know. Especially when the shadow self runs the show. It's not because we're flawed or broken. It's because of beliefs of where we think life comes from and our foolish choices. With an internally referenced self, you can actually take ownership and own your mistakes. You don't have to cover up your mistakes and hide in shame and isolation. You will be able to actually live in humble authenticity. With a strong, humble posture of learning from your mistakes, you can take your mistakes as feedback or information to live internally and thrive. Think of any failure not as failure, but as valuable feedback to learn from mistakes and move powerfully toward wisdom and mastery. You are acceptable with no need for any modification. Don't forget your true identity and where life comes from. Remember you're good enough. Remember that life does not work well when you live from fear or pursue counterfeits or drugs of choice. Remember that when you forget where life truly comes from, problems happen. Throughout your life, continue to master the fine art of living and leading your own life. You have what it takes to become quite proficient at learning how to live your own life with strength and freedom. Masculinity is good. In order to trust yourself, you must know that masculinity is good. What does it feel like to read that masculinity is good? For the past 40 to 50 years, men have been taught that masculinity is inherently flawed. Many messages that say something about being a man is shameful, or the way a man moves through life is not safe or good. You have heard about what it would look like if women ran the world and that every man needs a woman to keep his wild masculinity in check. Somewhere, we've learned that we need something to restrain us from harming people or causing damage. It's as though we believe that if we were truly free, we'd go on a raping binge or become an uncontrollable dick. This is actually ridiculous because when you are free, great things happen. Masculinity must be released, not restrained. Ultimately, in the present American culture, if you have a penis, you've questioned your worth and value in some way or another, believing that there's something wrong with you being a man. Since it's true that masculinity is expressed and manifested in ways that make some people uncomfortable, since masculine movements like anger, aggressiveness, large posture, physical strength, and strong nonverbal communication and withdrawing from relationships often creates discomfort, it doesn't mean masculinity is bad or flawed. It just means that sometimes the masculine posture is uncomfortable for some people. In our present American culture, the feminine has been upheld as a human ideal. Therefore, since the masculine moves differently than the feminine, there must be something wrong with the masculine. You cannot go to war against yourself and expect victory. This is the concept of false narrative on a grand scale. It seems the entire concept of masculinity is suspect and under scrutiny. Something external of the masculine has arrogantly deemed itself worthy of judging the value of masculinity, and it seems to external sources that the masculine has been found wanting. If men allow their identity and value to be determined by an external, they will always fall short of whatever expectation that exists. Therefore, masculinity will never be respected, valued, or lived out unapologetically. The value and definition of masculinity must be determined from within, from an internal place. The value and definition of masculinity is determined by the masculine. Masculinity is men released to be and what they were designed to do, which is intuitively following their internal design and their true identity, living strong, vigorous, and virtuous lives defined by purposeful movement, redemptive creativity, and passionate love, all coming from their good, solid core. We must reject the image of the masculine buffoon from commercials and sitcom. We must reject the swinging pendulum, which only has two stereotypes of the masculine, the new age sensitive nice guy and the hyper-masculine jerk. We must embrace the truth that masculinity is best lived out with a strong balance of heart and spine, alpha and beta. Know, understand, and believe that masculinity is good and necessary for healthy community and family. Embrace the fact that femininity and masculinity are different and complementary, creating amazing relationship possibilities. When either masculinity or femininity unconsciously moves from the shadow self, you'll hear more about that soon, many negative consequences occur. These consequences don't define the value of the masculine or feminine, it just shows that we move foolishly at times. Your masculinity is a significant internal resource which guides you to live a life of vigor and vitality. Because masculinity has not been respected, we are hesitant to embrace fully living in our masculinity. When this happens, we miss our deep core and lose the essence of our manhood. Masculinity is designed to be lived out with strength, courage, love, and freedom. Masculinity is the core of integrity, passion, power for others, moving expansively into our world. Masculinity is good, and developing mastery with your masculinity is essential. Now we'll talk about the shadow self. We've already looked about how we often think we're broken or something in us needs to be fixed, and that nothing actually needs to be fixed. but we still have more floating around us in us that needs some explanation. We all know we have a side to us that seems to be a bad part of us. You can call this part of the shadow self, the false self, the dark side, the flesh, or just the shadow. This is about our capabilities, but not our propensities. As humans, we are capable of being mean, destructive, and even evil. But for the great majority of people, these are not our propensity, which means that we have a natural bent or inclination toward behaving in a certain way. The Solid Man work teaches you that your natural inclination or desire is actually toward creating goodness and beauty in the world. We are capable of horrible things, but we have a propensity toward goodness and evil and beauty. The shadow self is not evidence that something's wrong with you. It's not your core or your true self. It's just a shadow of your true self, which is trying to fix problems in a foolish way. The shadow self is very similar to our false self in that it's just a part of us that's hanging around the perimeter of our lives. Neither of them are your true self. The false self is an imagined identity we have come to believe about who we are and where we gain our value and acceptance. The shadow self is who we are when we forget our true self and we let externals drive us or define us. The shadow self is who we are when we live foolishly. The shadow self comes alive when we try to solve our problems or reduce our anxiety and fear by taking pathways of foolish behavior. It's when we blame externals for our problems by taking a victim posture. We follow a distorted path to find wholeness or life. This is when we rely on externals to fill any gap that we think is in our life. When we try to desperately resolve our inner conflicts through external things, and that's where it gets ugly. The shadow self comes alive when we are unconscious, fearful, self-protective, externally referenced, forgetful, and disintegrated. All our problems come from our attempts to resolve core difficulties in our life. Externally, in our desperation, we are trying to find our true source, but we take pathways where we always fall short. The existence of the shadow self is just evidence that often we move and choose to live life in a very foolish way. It's not evidence that we're broken. In the journey to trust our internals, we must become proficient at identifying our shadow self and not allowing it to run the show. We must understand that our foolish choices don't come from a flawed core, but from our beliefs about life. The shadow self reveals itself in our lives when we are deceived about who we really are and what brings us life. The shadow self actually reveals our true beliefs. The realm of our beliefs is the central category in the journey to become solid. If you believe the lies or false narratives about who you are, what you need to be whole or acceptable, or where you think true life comes from, you will fall into an external reference and allow the shadow self to run your life. If you reject the lies and begin to live by the true narrative, you will live in freedom. Jesus said it like this to people who were following him: "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Once you're able to live by the truth about who you really are, you can live truly a life of freedom. The personality of your shadow self. We all have our own set of behaviors or postures that are indicators of the presence of the shadow self. The following list will help you identify when the shadow self is leading your life. Some people actually have names for their shadow self: the dragon, the snake, the dark side, the beast, the bear, the jackass, the vulture, the dick, the politician, or the charmer. You may have a name for it as well. If not, consider what the name could be. Give it a personalized name so you can identify it, because it's yours. You can make it a name by taking a personal pronoun and just give it an uppercase first letter. So think about it. What's the possible shadow self name of yours? Okay, so just like the previous long list, read this list slowly and out loud. Well, I'm going to be reading it for you right here, so don't worry. Check the ones that might be yours and then circle the top 5 or 8. You can do this separately when you get home or whatever. Use these to describe the personality of your shadow self. All right, here they are: judgmental, procrastinating, pleasing, whiny, blaming, cold shoulder, defensive, dishonest, dismissive, manipulative, disengaged, minimizing, abusive, depressed, lacking self-control, demanding, boastful, hyper-focused, controlling, arrogant, hard-hearted, avoidant, compartmentalized, butthurt, withdrawn, worrying, fixated, addicted, not centered, hopeless, explosive, unconscious, given up, given in, silenced, silent, intimidating, frustrated, passive, bullying, impatient, impulsive, pushy, forceful, passive-aggressive, compulsive, fault-finding, victimhood, obsessive, conceding too often, tyrannical, pity party, unreliable, confused, throwing a tantrum, shamed, forgetful, distracted, critical, unbelief, deflecting, deflated, self-doubt, never wrong, accusatory, moody, sarcastic, grumpy, disrespectful. It seems that this list may be a list of defining characteristics of who we are, but they're not your definers. While the shadow self is you moving in a certain way and believing certain things, it's not who you truly are. So take that list and anything that came to mind when I read it, you know, circle it when you have a chance. So list the characteristics of your own personal shadow self. Everybody has specific characteristics that indicate that the shadow self is alive and well. For instance, you could say it like this. Hello, my name is Bob, and the name of my shadow self is Hugh, which is from Hugh Grant. He's kind of a whiny British actor. That's why, because my shadow self is whiny, whimpering, procrastinating, temper tantrumy, and always confused. Or, my name is Ken. My shadow self name is The Beast. My shadow self can be a real bully and intimidating or pushy. The Beast can be withdrawn and grumpy. Make a statement so you can introduce yourself to the shadow self. So when you get home, just look at this thing. It's got a crummy drawing, but put all your characteristics together. Forgetting. Remember that the shadow self is what your good heart looks like when you forget to live from your internals or when you let externals run the show. The problem is that we forget who you are and we become driven by externals. The shadow self comes alive when we are unconscious, fearful, self-protective, externally referenced, and forgetful and disintegrated. Unconscious. This happens when we live in our head, stop paying attention to our internal resources. We are unconscious when we fall asleep, when we are oblivious, unaware, or withdrawn. We've already talked about how important it is to maintain consciousness at all times in your life. When we lose consciousness, the shadow self rules and we allow old roles to act in default mode. Fearful. Fear is a huge enemy to the integrated man. Fear can shut us down and lock us up. You must know that you can handle just about anything that comes your way. Acknowledge your fear and courageously move into whatever is fearful. Fear is not evidence of inadequacy. It's an indicator that something significant is going on. Fear is meant to be challenged so that you can actually challenge your beliefs about life. Unconscious fear is at the heart of the shadow self. Self-protective. Masculinity is designed to protect, to use your power for others around you. When we get self-protective and defensive, our masculinity shrivels and our lives become small. It is true that we must have strong boundaries for how people treat us, but true strength is seen in a man who does not have to defend himself. Through self-protection, we will get controlling or withdrawn. Either way, it becomes unhealthy. We can get defensive, try to explain our way out of situation rather than taking ownership for our situation. Self-protection exists when life is shriveled in upon itself. That's what the shadow self looks like. Externally referenced. This is when everything outside of you runs the show or defines who you are. Things are turned outside in and we're driven by the external matrix which controls us. This false life is the shadow self life. There's no true substance or vitality to it. The shadow self thrives in a world of the externally referenced life. There's actually no other option. The externally referenced life is the shadow self. forgetting. When we forget, we believe the lies about who we are and where our value comes from. We are shame-based when we believe we are a mistake and we are broken. We believe the false narratives that we are not good enough and we don't have what it takes. We allow the shadow self to thrive when we forget who we are, where our true source of life is, or when we believe we have no control over our own lives. Disintegrated. When we are internally separated from our important parts of ourselves, we are disintegrated. This is when we don't listen to our heart or our body. It's not holistically integrating all our parts. Dualism is thinking that some parts of you are less important or valuable than disregarding their impact. A definition of hell often is centered on the word separation. Hell is separation from God, from others, and most profoundly from yourself. The disintegrated man is in a living hell. The concept of separation is significant here because most people carry some angst from feeling alone or not acceptable. With this inner turmoil, we will do some very foolish things to try to feel accepted and loved. This is where the shadow self is trying to make things work. But it doesn't work to live from this place. The flesh. The Bible calls this part of you the flesh. The flesh is not referring to our physical flesh or body, but a way of living that sets itself apart from the spirit or internal parts of us. The flesh has a way of running the show when we are living in fear, forgetting who we are, and self-protection. It works its way into our lives when we forget where life really comes from and when we pursue counterfeits to feel better or to escape difficulties. The Bible concept of the flesh is the shadow self. So this is a paraphrase of Romans 7:15-24. Since the shadow self or the flesh is part of my inner world, it seems there's something wrong with me. I actually have a deep desire to do what is right and good with my life, but sometimes it seems like the shadow self is too strong. When I let the shadow self run the show, I end up not doing the good things that my good heart wants to do. So this is where it feels like something bad is in me, since I often have a difficult time doing what my good heart wants to do. It's as though something else in me is directing my steps to act foolishly. Whenever I want to do what is good and right, there is always a choice to act foolishly against what is right. Even though inside my heart I am excited to do good and accomplish great things, I experience a kind of battle that messes with my mind. My mind starts to believe the lies, and that's when I get sucked into the bondage of the shadow self. That's when I feel like I really suck and wonder if I'll ever be free. Again, that was a paraphrase of Romans 7:15-24. Freedom will always be elusive if you do not identify the battlefield. The battle is not against you or your own soul. When wrestling with the shadow self, the battle is in the realm of your beliefs, where you believe life comes from and who you believe you are. When you forget the true answers to those questions, you will fall into the clutches of the shadow self, and your behaviors will turn toward folly and sin. Restraining the shadow self. As we interact with the shadow self, we must remember that we have complete responsibility. We have control over our decisions and ownership of all our actions. It may seem at times that the shadow self takes on a life of its own, taking us for a ride which feels powerless, but we do have control. To live a solid life of integrity, you must become proficient at understanding and restraining your own shadow self. You must learn to purposefully put the shadow self into a cage where it has no power over you. The shadow self will always be present in your life. It just does not have to be your friend. It doesn't have to define you, and it doesn't have to control anything in your life. The shadow self will try to elbow its way into your life by disguising itself as an internal resource. It might look like an instinct, intuition, or even spiritual, but it can be despicable like that. Keep your eyes open, and you'll get good at identifying when the shadow self cuts in. The internally referenced life seeks abundance and thriving in life. The shadow self lives in scarcity and deprivation. The shadow self lives in fear and is just trying to keep you safe. But scarcity and self-protection always limit you from moving forward in strength and confidence. When you sense something holding you back, or when you're not able to live fully, observe to see if that's the shadow self. The shadow self keeps you from a full life of vitality. A very significant concept in the Solid Man process is living from your heart. You will learn to trust your heart and learn to follow how it leads you in every moment of your life. You will learn to be conscious and aware of the state of your heart as you move through life. This conscious awareness will be one of your greatest tools to keep check on the shadow self. The shadow self thrives when your heart is hard and closed off. Hard-heartedness is a sign that the shadow self is alive and well. Take the time to check in with your heart and do everything to live with an open heart at all times. Becoming proficient at knowing when the shadow self is running the show requires a few simple things. First, breathe. When you feel like anything is going on, breathe two nice deep breaths. This gives you oxygen to your brain and body while giving 10 to 12 seconds to stop and catch up and check in. Second, identify. Identify the indicators that the shadow self is alive and active. Becoming more familiar to the personality of your shadow self will help you to be more aware. Third, choose. Get your heart back. This requires vulnerability, since usually the shadow self is very self-protective. Breathe deep again and reject that bastard for trying to run your life. Awareness of your shadow self is essential as you learn to move in strength and freedom. Know what your shadow self looks like and remember that it's not your core. When you notice the shadow self running the show, regroup and get your solidness back. There are many indicators that the shadow self is not running the show. This is when you're playful, inquisitive, centered, content, and free. It's still you have a childlike posture, and you're enjoying life. You will begin to experience many definers of a shadow self-free life. A Cherokee legend of the two wolves illustrates this internal battle. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about this for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." So it is with the shadow self. If we continue to give it a front row in decisions of our life, it will determine the path we follow. So with the shadow self, stay conscious and aware of how the shadow self comes alive in your life. When it raises its ugly head, notice it and regroup to your internals. So a review. Mastering the art of living your life in fullness and integration requires that you must trust yourself. Trusting yourself means that you know that masculinity is inherently good and designed to benefit the world. It's remembering that you have what it takes, that you are more than enough. Remember that you're not broken and you can live in freedom. Remember that there's nothing wrong with you. You are in good working order. What needs to be fixed is the idea that you need to be fixed. And checking in. Notice what's going on in your world, both externally and internally. Check in with yourself often. Stay awake and conscious. Maintain consciousness as much as possible. Be a student of yourself, a non-judgmental observer of yourself, and stay connected with yourself and be present in every moment. Having an open heart. Live with an open heart as much as possible. Listen to your internal resources as much as you can and allow them to guide your interactions and decisions. Now go master the art of living from the inside out. Thank you.